This is the weekly Parsha Shiur with Rabbi Chaim Bravender of Atid and WebYeshiva.org, recorded live in Jerusalem at Beit Knesset Haramban. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for live interactive online shiurim today.
So I have to say a few words about Yom HaShoah, because to ignore it would be criminal. However, I must admit that personally I have a personal difficulty relating to Yom HaShoah. My parents left Europe before the war, but they left a lot behind. And we grew up, my sister and I, always thinking that we were somehow involved in, even though you could say that we weren't. But in order to think back on things, you have to feel that there's something that you're thinking about, something that you want to change, something that you want to do. It seems that the capacity of people to kill other people just because they belong to a group, or in our case, the capacity of people in the world to be anti-Semites, doesn't seem to be diminished. And that is certainly a sad thing, something that is hard to, it's hard to understand. I mean, if we are, we hear the rantings from Iran, they certainly sound like anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism means that there's no particular reason. It's not like that you did something to somebody else. So that what I think about in Yom HaShoah is the fact that it seems that the Shoah was not that effective in changing our attitudes, or the attitudes of the people in the world. They seem to go up and down according to some unknown scale. In any event, we'll talk today about something which should be considered in any case, and that is Lashon Hara. You see, at the beginning of the Parsha Metzora, which I have a certain partiality to, because it was my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Too late. But what I mean is that, you know, Metzora is kind of it's not such an exciting Parsha, but if it's your Bar Mitzvah Parsha, you get to do it again and again and again. And it becomes very, very important to you. So in the Parsha of Mitzorah, the Parsha of Mitzorah begins discussing the person who was a Mitzorah. And Mitzorah, I think, is correctly translating this art scroll edition of Rashi that I'm looking at, which happens to be a good book, in spite of the fact that I'm introducing with the word art scroll. It's a very good, they did a very good job, and it's very clear, but they translate Mitzorah as Mitzorah. And there's nothing wrong with saying that you don't know exactly what it is. But you know that it's some kind of a disease that affects the skin and can be seen, right? You can see it on your skin, whatever it is. Whatever there is, there always from time to time there's a article printed about the latest I know exactly what it is article, type article. If you're interested in those things, then you should look into it. But here in the beginning of Mitzorah, the Parsha of Mitzorah begins after the one with Tzorah, the person who had Tzorah is cured. There's a certain procedure, the Kohen, he goes and he looks again, he looks the third time, and the hairs coming out of the skin turn this color and that color, everything is fine, right? You know, he's not a Mitzorah anymore, physically. The parasha says, right, the Be'ashem Moshe Lemor, Zotiye Torat HaMitzorah. Torat HaMitzorah. So, I mean, Torat HaMitzorah could just mean the word Torah in a secular form, like, this is what you do with the Mitzorah. Torah. Torah is the schedule of things. But it's hard to ignore the fact that the word Torah also means Torah. And why would you call it Torat HaMitzorah? I mean, why does the Mitzorah get to be a Torah. What's the Torah ta mitzorah? B'yom taharato v'uvalak ela kohen. B'yom taharato v'uvalak kohen means that on the day that he is determined to be tahor, in this case tahor means he's not ill. He doesn't have tzarat. He doesn't have tzarat. So then you bring it to the Kohen. In other words, this is part B. Part A is the cure, right? And the cure is done by watching, by looking at him, at his skin, at the hairs on wherever he's afflicted, and then the Kohen declares him cured. Because he has the Kohen has certain simanim or certain medical knowledge, however you would say it. And this parasha, Perek Yudalet, Sukim Aleph, etc., are after that. So after he's cured, it says, Vuva la Kohen. Then part B is that you bring him to the Kohen. V'yatza Kohen amichutz la machaneh. Right? You bring him to the Kohen, and the Kohen sees that he's cured, that the negat tzarat has gone away, the affliction is gone. V'tziva Kohen. And then, instead of it ending, it just starts. There's a whole new story. V'tziva Kohen, v'likatlim mitaher, for the one who is being purified, whatever that might mean, but certainly cured, the one who is being cured. Shtei tziporim chayot tahorot, ve'etz erez, u'shnitolat ve'ezot. So in order to get this thing going, you have to get the following equipment together. First is shtei tziporim, two birds, and these birds are described in the Torah as chayot. Right? Chayot tahorot. Purified, live. Pure live. Those two words are used to describe the birds. And then eight erez, cedar. A piece of a cedar, a branch of a cedar. Cedar is considered to be a very strong kind of wood. So you have two birds, you have a cedar, and you have shni tola'at v'ezov. Shni tola'at v'ezov. What is shni tola'at? So, ezov is hyssop. I say that because it's the same word, right? Ezov, hyssop, it's the same word. Ezov ve'hakir are the hyssops that grow out of the wall. If you've been to the Kotel recently or not, you notice that there's certain kind of grasses that grow out from in between the stone. These grasses obviously need very little nourishment to live, you know, because they're growing in the stone. Usually you grow in the ground. The ground retains moisture and sustenance for whatever grows there. But ezovei hakir, I mean, it takes nothing to grow them, and they're not worth anything. So you have eight erets, the best wood, the strongest wood that you have there, and you have ezov, right? And you have tola'at shani. Tola'at shani, which is translated here as being a crimson tongue of wool. How does that sound? In other words, some sort of wool, some sort of material. Crimson is a color, right? Right. So what is that? Tola'at shani. I don't know. Anyway, that's what you think. Then it says with tzivah kohen. So then the Kohen goes and he slaughters one of these birds. El Kli Cheres. A Kli Cheres is a earthenware pot or jug or something Al Mayim Chayim. What is Mayim Chayim? Mayim Chayim? Water that has not been collected in a pot, in a metal pot. Like the kind of water you need for a mikveh. That's Mayim Chayim. Or you could go and jump into the ocean or into the spring. Right? That's also Mayim Chayim. Eta Tzipor HaChaya Yikach Otah. And then he takes the Tzipor HaChaya, the liquid, or had he slaughtered one of the Tziporis. He's got one left. Tzipor HaChaya Yikach Otah, and Eza Erez V'Chidiyat Tzolat. He takes all this equipment. That day is over. V'Taval Otah. And then he dunks them all into the blood of the Tzipor, that the Tzipor HaChaya, and the living bird must be very happy about this also. It all gets dunked into this pot. It has Mayim Chayim and the blood of the slaughtered bird. V'dam HaTzipor HaShkuta Al HaMayim HaChayim. You have that, Pasuk? What? Okay. So in other words, there's a procedure. There's a procedure that this mitzorah goes through after he is cured. I mean, it's very important to note that. He is cured of the tzarah, and then he has to go through this procedure. And the pasuk that you don't have, which is unfortunate, he says, V'izala mitahem in atzarah shevapam, and you spritz this concoction on the mitzorah 7 times with tiaro. B'tiaro, and he is purified. B'shilach et ha-tzipor ha-chaya u'pnei ha-sadeh. And the one living bird is set out free. Now, I know that we read this every year in shul, on Shabbos, but I know that most people don't notice. You know, everybody knows that Tazria and Mitzora are boring. They don't even know what's in them. But what is it that's going on? So we'll look at Rashi. Rashi says, El Michutz La Machane. No, Pasuk Dalet. You see Pasuk Dalet in Rashi? Siparim Chayot Prat LeTrefot. In other words, you can't use birds that are trefot. Trefot means they're going to die. You see that they're afflicted somehow. They're going to die. You can save money that way, right? If you bring tziporim that are going to die, it probably costs less than bringing tziporim that are alive. Tahorot. Prat la'ov tameh. You can't bring a non-kosher bird. Lefisha ha'nega'im ba'im alashon hara. So there you have it. Rashi says that the reason that you can't bring a non-kosher bird is because of the name by Mal Shodarashu Maaseh Pitputei Devarim. What does Lashon Hara mean? You yak too much. You just talk too much. It's not even about concepts. It's about a kind of a way of acting. The Fika, Huskiku Letaharoto Tziporim. That's why birds specifically are used. Usually, when is a bird brought as a korban? When is a bird brought as a korban?
To save money.
Right, if you can't afford it. If you can't afford to bring a cow, you bring a bird. Right? But there are a few korbanot where the bird is the original choice, is the best choice. Here, in this case, the bird is the best choice, and Rashi explains why. Because that's what birds do. They are always chirping or whatever else they might be doing. But they don't stop. They don't stop. So that reminds you of what the issue is. The fika huskikulit haratotzi parim shemifatpetim tamid bitzivtzuf ko. That the birds are always... And that's where Lashon Hara comes from, according to Rashi. Lashon Hara comes from talking. People who talk a lot end up saying they're talking Lashon Hara. There's no other possibility. Now Rashi goes on and he says, Eitz Erez. Remember, there are three things that you bring. The Eitz Erez, the Shni Tolat, and the Ezov. Right? The three things that the Kohen has to have. What's the Eitz Erez? The Fisha Negaim by Magatsu Taruach. So what is Gatsut HaRuach? What do those words mean? Yeah, I'm looking here in my art scroll. Tell me what the translation is. Because it's interesting. Gasut haruach. What figure was Gasut mean? By you know, Gasut haruach, because of haughtiness. Eight for the footnote. Tanchuma 3. The cedar is tall and a beautiful tree. High and glorious. Alright, they don't know why Gasut HaRuach, but Gasut HaRuach, obviously, is this inability to control yourself. The fact that you have to talk all the time, right? That's Gasut HaRuach. Even though the word Gas means unrefined. It's like the lowest form of something. Gasut HaRuach is that he's an unrefined spirit. You know, like, who talks all the time? Only people who don't know what they're talking about. People who do know what they're talking about speak on occasion when they have something to say, which is unfortunately not a mida that everybody has absorbed, right? Of course, you can blame your mothers for talking too much. You know, that's what, you know, today everything is okay because it's psychology. So it says Gasut HaRuach. Gasut HaRuach. So what is eight erez according to Rashi? It's the strongest wood that there is. What's Gasut HaRuach? So that it's really hard to knock out of you, right? It's like part of you. You know, there are people like that. They talk, unfortunately, when they shouldn't talk. And they say things they shouldn't say. There's nothing to do with what we would technically call Lashon Hara, but, you know, there are certain things, there are certain exclusions to Lashon Hara, but for them it's Gasut HaRuach. And that's what Rashi wants to say, that not only Lashon Hara netto, but there's Lashon Hara bruto. Right? Lashon Hara netto is whatever the halacha says. Right? It says, you know, but there's also Lashon Hara bruto, like if you talk Lashon Hara about somebody who died. So maybe that's not called Lashon Hara, but it's Gasut HaRuach. So Rashi replaces Lashon Hara by Gasut HaRuach for a purpose, to show that Gasut HaRuach is not like other aveiros, where you do it and you might never do it again. But if you are afflicted by Gasut HaRuach, the chances that you're going to say Lashon Hara again and again are there. So the eight areas represent Gasut HaRuach. Shlitolat Be'ezov is this wolf, right? Ma takanato v'yitrape yashpil atzmo migaavato kitolatu ke'ezov. He says, what is it that is going to change him? In other words, here's a guy who spoke Lashon Hara. Because he spoke Lashon Hara, he was afflicted by Tzorat. After he's afflicted by Tzorat, He goes to the Kohen and he has to do something which usurps the Lashon Hara, the inclination from Lashon Hara, from him. So modern psychology tells us that the first step is recognition. I mean, you have to recognize people who are got same Ruach, people I'm thinking about. Everybody's thinking about somebody else, but it doesn't matter. I'm thinking about people who are got same Ruach and you couldn't convince them that they are Gasei Ruach. That's one of the problems. That's one of the problems. But sometimes, according to Rashi, if you do go through this procedure, which includes a lot of symbolic acts, that might have an effect. It might awaken you to your plight, right? Like what are we saying? You had Tzorat, but it's not that you had an infectious disease that is going to be cured in the hospital. Yes, you had an infectious disease. Yes, it's going to be used in the hospital. But you remain a carrier. And in order to kind of get rid of that from you, we have this procedure, right? The eight areas, the shlitolat, the ezov, which tells you what your real issue is. The real issue is not taking antibiotics to get rid of the Tzorat, but the real issue is to get rid of the Gasut HaRuach and the Lashon Hara. So Rashi says, eight areas. Shlitolat Ve'ezov Matzakanato V'yitrapei. How can he cure himself? Yashpil Atzmo Migavato. He should be humble. He should have humility. So Rashi's telling me something else about Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara is a lack of humility, right? I don't think much of the other person. I don't think that insulting him, embarrassing him, talking about him, it means anything. Because after all, you know, he's not important. Ketola'at uche'ezov eitz erez, makel shel erez. Rashi explains that. That's a tree that you bring. The piece of erez is like a makel. Shni tola'at, l'shon shel semer tzavuah zehorif. Okay. L'shon shel semer means a lick of cloth or something. I think you could say that. Tzemer, of wool, Savua Zahorit, which is brightly colored. It reflects light. It has this kind of paint on it that reflects light. Okay, that's what it says. Now, there's a Medrash that I want to tell you. Medrash Vayikra Rabba Pasha Tetzayin. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chamesh Torot Ketuvot B'Mitzorah. Zot Torat Neged Tzorat, Zot Tiyeh Torat HaMitzorat, Zot Torat Asher Bo Neged Tzorat, V'Zot HaTorah L'Kol Neged Tzorat, Zot Torat HaTzorat, Zot Tiyeh Torat HaMitzorat, HaMotzi Shem Ra L'Lamedcha. So in other words, the Medrash notes the fact that the word Torah is used a lot in the Torah when talking about Tzorat, Mitzorah, etc. L'lamedcha, shekol ha'omer lashon hara, over al chamisha chumshei Torah. I don't think there's any other aveirah that is so described in the Midrash. That if you speak lashon hara, over al chamisha chumshei Torah. Now whatever that means, it sounds like it means that lashon hara is the worst possible transgression that a person can do. The other thing that the Tanoim wants to say was that it's Avodah Zarah. Something is Avodah Zarah. But that's really something remarkable. The Pika Moshe Matiyat Yisrael Zot Tiyeh Torah HaMitzorah. So that was the first question we asked when we started learning these psukim, that they begin, right, Zot Tiyeh Torah HaMitzorah. What do they mean? Mitzorah contradicts Torah. Torah meaning Hamisha Chumshei Torah. And in as far as each of the Chumash lives independently somehow, that Hamisha Chumshei Torah equals the most. It can't be more than that. Hamisha Chumshei Torah. And it's interesting. I'll show you. I won't go through all of these psukim, but we go through some of them. You see, there's a major Lashon Hara issue in every one of the five Tzvarim of the Torah. Everyone. The first one here, quote, Breshit Lamazayim, Pasuk Bet, Eile Toldot Yaakov, Yosef, Et Shvah, Zeshana, Hayaro Et Echav, Batzon, Pulunaret, Bnei Bilhav, Bnei Zulfali, Neshei Aviv. Now you see, Vayavei Yosef et dibatam ra'ah el avihem. Breshit. Yosef spoke lashon hara about his brothers. What did he say? Et dibatam ra'ah. You see the Rashi et dibatam ra'ah? It's sort of like, I guess, a third of the way up from the bottom of the Rashi. Et dibatam ra'ah. Kol ra'ah shaya ro'eh. Ve'echav b'nei le'ah, hayav agid levi, shayu ochlim evi menachai. He would tell his father all the things that they did wrong, that they would eat evi menachai, you know, limbs of animals that were taken off the animal when it was still alive. U'mizal v'lim b'nei ashvachot likrotam avadim, v'chashudin al harayot. They would be insulting to the brothers who were the children of the handmaidens, and the third was chashudim al harayot, that they were suspected of having unreasonable sexual encounters. Uvishloshtan lakat, And Rashi said, Uvishloshtam Matam, meaning the response to Lashon Hara is a physical affliction. Uvishloshtam Matam. Right? How so? Aiva Menachai. Veyishchatu seir izim b'mechirato v'lo achaluhu chai v'al dibatu. I won't go into that, but you understand that Rashi says that the Lashon Hara that Yosef brought to his father, he was punished. He was punished for. So that's the Lashon Hara Bereishit. What about Shemot? Shemot Perek Dalet. You see Shemot Perek Dalet? V'yam Moshe v'yam lo yaminu li. They're not going to believe me. V'lo yishma'u b'koli, ki yomru lo nir'ah elecha Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu says about B'nai Yisrael at the Sneh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send him to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim, v'hem lo yaminu li, and he was punished for that. What was the punishment that Moshe Rabbeinu received? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's punishment? Which time? In other words, that was an unnecessary tzarah. Right? Isn't that the simple pshat? In other words, Hashem could have said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when you're out there with Paro, stick your hand in your cloak and come out, and you'll be with tzarah kesheleh. So, okay, so then we would say, why that? Or why not this? But at the Sneh, what happened at the Sneh? What happened? Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, do it! Right? So that means that at the snare was unnecessary. And assuming that sarat is painful or unpleasant or whatever, so that was the punishment that Moshe Rabbeinu received. The punishment of Moshe Rabbeinu for saying, V'hein lo yaminu li. Right? Because V'hein lo yaminu li, he said something bad about the nation Israel, but he didn't know. You didn't know the Hegel Yaminu Li. So that's the Sarat of Shemot. The Sarat of Vayikra is the whole parsha of Mitzorah. Right? Then we have Bamidbar. Bamidbar, Perek Yud Gimel, it says on the second page, Vayotzi'u Dibata Aret Asher Taru Adal B'nei Yisrael Emor, So here the Meraglim, they come and they say, Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Right? And that they were Eretz Ochelet Yishveh. Rashi says, Bekol Makom Shavarnu Mitzahanum Kol Grei Meitim Bakodesh Bobo Asala Tovaka Dei L'Tirdam Ba'avlam V'lo Yitnu Leib La'im. In other words, they saw that the Canaanites were burying people all the time, and they came to the wrong conclusion. They came to the conclusion that they were burying people because they killed them all the time. Whereas in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it as a merit. So you see that you see something about the Aveira of the Meraglim from this Rashi. If the miraculous thought that God was bringing them to Chesed to Eretz Israel, so they would have interpreted what they saw differently. And those witnesses, to be a witness is not sufficient, because you have to have a point of view. It's very hard to have to witness something about which you have no point of view. Nothing happens. Nothing means anything. So that's what happened with the Meraglim. In Devarim, it says, "Zechor d'asher asah Hashem elokecha leMiriam b'derech mitzaytchem miMitzrayim." Miriam, what about Miriam? What did she do? She spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. What exactly Lashon Hara was, basically, but she spoke Lashon Hara and she was punished with Sarat again. So you see that this Medrash, remember, we just go back to see what we did. You see, there's a Medrash, and the Medrash says that the word Torah appears many, many times in order to tell us that somehow it's an Aveira of Hamisha Chum Shei Torah, it's not a regular Aveira, Lashon Hara. So you see, if you look at the Chumash, and I just looked at the Chumash, and you see that in every one of the Svarim of the Chumash, there is a specific mention of Lashon Hara and the punishment of Lashon Hara, right? In the case of Yosef, Yosef was many times punished for what he did. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Meraglim, and Miriam, right? Of course, there's Vayikra, you have the whole parsha of Mitzorah is about Tzorat. Okay, so we learned a few things about Tzorat, but we don't really know what this business of bringing a korban, like how bringing a korban, the day there is the Shemitah lot, etc., could cure my inclination to speak Lashon Hara. You know, like how does it work? So in order to understand that, you have to learn a Rambam. The Rambam at the end of Tumas Tzoras, the last halacha, you know that sometimes the Rambam in different chapters of his book on halacha, the last section, the very last paragraph is often philosophical or theological. It's like an idea. So here, when it comes to Tumas Tzoras, he was not able to control himself. He had to say something. He said he knew that everybody's going to say, what do you need this for? What do you need this for? You're not supposed to talk Lashon Hara. So tell people not to talk Lashon Hara. Or if you're going to get punished, you'll get punished. And if any other punishment, you'll do better next time because you'll try to avoid the punishment. But what is all this business that's going on in the parish of Mitzorah? That you have to bring an Eitz Erez, a Shnitolat, an Eitz Ov, a Tziporim, Shnei Tziporim, Chayot, Teorot. What is all of this? So listen to the way the Rambam takes. You have to understand that this paragraph comes after all of Hilchot Tzorah. The Rambam explained everything to us. What you do with the birds, which birds first, which bird second, how you spritz, and where you spritz. The Rambam's got through this whole halachic feast. Right, because there are many, many halachot connected to this. So the Rambam then says, "Hatzarat u'shem amur b'shutafut kolel inyanim harbei shein domim zelazeh." He says, "Tzarat is not a precise medical term. It's not like a Latin word. It means, you know, people who have diseases of the skin. It's like a general kind of word. Sharei loven or ha'adam." Teruid tzarat, when the skin of a person gets white, that's called tzarat. Even though there may be different causes and different diseases, unefilat ktat seyah harosho azakan teruid tzarat. And you start losing your hair, or you lose the hair on your beard, that's also called tzarat. Shinui ayin habegadim o habatim teruid tzarat, and the look of the clothing or the houses. Also, that's called Tzorat. V'zeh ha-shinui ha-amur b'vgadim u'vlakim shekarot u'karat Tzorat v'shut put ha-shem eino min ha-gol shel olam. He says, I want you to know that the Torah calls, right in the parasha of Tazria, Tzorat ha-bayit, that you can afflict the stones of the house and you can afflict the clothing that you wear. So he says, that's eino min ha-gol shel olam, the Rambam says. This is not normal. This is not nature, so to speak. Ella otva pele haya v'Yisrael kedei la'tzirad min. This was a miracle, the Rambam says. Even though you know very well that the Rambam doesn't like miracles, here the Rambam says you have to know that this is a miracle and not teva. This is not teva. In order to prevent us from having Lashon Hara. So you know that the Gemara says in Sota, Nigmatan Sota, a principle. Mishin Israbu Hamina'afim Pasku Me Sota. Right? What's Me Sota? What is the purpose of Me Sota? Right? You know, if a woman is in a room with another man, and there are witnesses who can attest to that, but they can't attest to whether anything happened, whether they did anything wrong. They might have just been in the room together. You know, at the same time. But the husband is suspicious. He doesn't know whether he should continue his marriage or not. So there's a procedure called mesota, where the woman drinks these special waters, and if she's guilty, she dies. And if she's not guilty, she doesn't die. So what does the Meis Sota do? What does the Meis Sota do? What? Clarify. Good. Clarify in a way that we are unable to clarify. In other words, the legal system, if you take this woman to court, and you say, I saw this and that, that bring two witnesses, wouldn't mean anything. I mean, so what are you? The two witnesses only saw her go into a room. They didn't see her do anything. So there's no way for the system, the legal system, to clarify her status. So there's a miracle. They so does a miracle, which enables us to clarify her status and to say that the marriage should go on, for example. Right? So the Gemara says, Misha Mishrabu Haminoafim Pasku Meisota. When people acted in the way they should not act, and they had sexual relations with reckless abandon, so then Pasku Meisota, then there was no point of clarifying things. Because people were more committed to doing the wrong thing than doing the right thing. So that's what a miracle is. A miracle, you can't sign on to the miracle, right? In heaven, it is determined whether you deserve the miracle. So here, the Rambam says that Hamisaper v'Lashon Hara Mishtanot Kirot Beito. Somebody says Lashon Hara, he gets a miracle. That wall of his house changes. V'Mchazar Bo V'Yitayer Abaya. And if he repents Lashon Hara, then the house that he lives in will become a better house. Im amad b'risho ad shehu tatz habayit mishtanim klei ha'osha b'beito shehu yoshev v'shochev alehem. But if he does not change his ways, then all the leather goods, the things that, you know, the clothing and the things you put on your bed, etc., they all become filled with this tzarah. Im chazar bo yitaru, im mamad b'risho ad sheyusufu mishtanim abgadim sha'alav, that his own clothing becomes afflicted. Im chazar bo yitaru, im mamad b'risho ad sheyusufu mishtane oro v'yitzareya v'yeh muvdal u'mufursam levado ad shelo yitasek v'sichat ha'rasha'im shehu alei tzarut v'lashon hara. So the Rambam says that there's a procedure. The Rambam is not alone in this. This is also in the Gemara. That first your house is afflicted, then leather goods are afflicted, then your clothing is afflicted, then you are afflicted. Right? In other words, each stage is sort of getting more and more serious about this transgression of lashon hara, and that's how the idea, of course, is to get the person to stop. Now listen to what the Rambam says. Valinyan said, I'm 3, 6, 8 by Yan Zemashir the Torah Bomer, Ishamer the Negat Sarat, Zachorat Zashem Lukal Lemiryam Baderech, Areo Mer his Boninuma Ira Lemiryam and Ibia, Shibra Bachia, Shaitak Dolami Menu Bishanim, Vigidal Toa Birkeha, Vizikna Batsmo Latilo Min Hayam. Vehi lo dibra b'gnuto ele ta'ata shishvito l'shar nevi'im. Vehu lo ekpid al kol ha'mirim. When you think, you know what Lashon Hara is? Lashon Hara is Miriam talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Miriam was older than Moshe Rabbeinu, and Miriam took care of him as a child, and Miriam brought him up, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't care, and she was just trying to straighten him out, right? Just to say, listen, you were Moshe Rabbeinu, but you should act in a different way. So he says, her only mistake was that she said that Moshe Rabbeinu is a regular person. Like other prophets, she was a prophet, Aaron was a prophet, Moshe was a prophet, why shouldn't he end with family relations? So he says, V'hu lo hikpid al kol ha'drim ha'elu sh'ne'emar v'hit Moshe anav ma'od, v'afo b'ichei miyad ne'ensha b'tzarat, k'al v'chom lebnei adam ha'rasha'im ha'tipshim sh'marbim l'dabe g'dolot v'niflaot. V'figach ra'ui l'mi sh'rotze l'chavein orchotav v'tachek b'yishivatat, So, don't talk Lashon Hara. You don't want to be with the bad guys. You don't want to be influenced. You don't want to be undermined. Don't talk Lashon Hara. That you learn from Miriam. Because Miriam's Lashon Hara, even though she was punished with Tzaraat, her actual Lashon Hara was very, very limited. It was very mild, you could say. It wasn't something really terrible. So here you see the Rambam has a position which is absolutely wondrous. The Rambam says, you know how it starts. You talk about nothing. I don't want to make a comparison to anything in the real world. But you know, like, when I was a kid, I knew everything that you could possibly know about the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, you may not know what that is, but there was once a baseball team in Brooklyn, right? And there was a declared week of mourning when they moved to Los Angeles. But they moved to Los Angeles and did not take anybody with them, right? The people in Brooklyn, as far as the people we were concerned, it all died. But we knew. You know what we knew about the Brooklyn Dodgers? You know what we knew about these baseball players? Think back on it. It's a wondrous thing. You know, sometimes, even today, I used to go around and I go to these day schools. You say to a kid, you say, what Mishnayos are you learning? He doesn't know. What Mishnah did you learn yesterday? He also doesn't know. They say, who's the second guitar in the Pink Floyd? Tell me the second. So you see that people have a wondrous capacity to remember what they really want to remember, and an equally wondrous capacity to forget what they don't want to remember. I'm not talking about the quality of your memory, but just say you have people who do well. You know, they study for a test, they take the test, they do well. The next day, they don't know any of the material that they studied. There are people like that because they have trained themselves. They train themselves to remember things until the test. And then it all gets wiped out. So, here the Rambam says, you know, there are people who are late sin. The Rambam doesn't like that. People sit around and do nothing. People who are not involved in anything important. You know, they're sitting in the Beit Cafe and waiting for something to happen. Instead of sitting in the Beit Cafe and having a meeting. But there are people who are just waiting for something to happen. And he says, Ma'abim b'divrei habai. They speak a lot about nothing. Kenyan shenemar lepoto v'kol k'sil b'rov dvarim. That the k'sil, the fool, just talks all the time. You know, he has nothing to talk about, but he talks. U'mitoch kach ba'im l'safer b'gnut ha-tzadikim. And they come as a result because they were looking for something to say. They talk about the tzaddikim. And they say, Bignut, Matchil Bignut, Umisayim Mishrat. Right? The same word as the Haggadah uses to say that we were over there for the Zohar. But Matchil Bignut means, he say, well, you know, oh, I saw him doing this, or he didn't say hello, or he was thinking about something else. Remember, that's great fun. The great fun is to talk about the rabbi. Right? You talk about two things you come home for sure. What the rabbi said, and what the rabbi is. Right? The reason he said it is because he is a such and such. Right? Or something like that. People talk like that. Moshe Ne'emar, Telamna Sipatei Sheker Adorot Al Tzadik Atak. We talk about it. Listen, Yelan Hergel Daber Benivim Velatet Dofi Bidivrehem. He says, because of that, it starts on the Tzadikim, and then it moves on to the Nevi'im, and you say, well, you know, maybe he meant this, and maybe he meant that, right? Ki inyan shenemar v'yumal ivim v'malachei Elokim v'bozim d'varim v'tzatim v'nevi'ah. V'mitokach. What do you think? The rabbi says, what's Lashon Hara? What's Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is an Aveira, but it's also a slippery slope. And when you learn, when you teach yourself, that you can say things about people about leaders, about righteous people, and there doesn't seem to be any with impunity, right? You say with impunity. So how long is it going to take you, according to the Rambam, to get to God? The language, the speech that they make, that's what causes them the trouble. So you could say that the pshat, right, the pshat in Mitzora is that there's a physical affliction, and that physical affliction is apparently there to awaken you. It's to awaken you to the difficulty of Lashon Hara, what you did, and how Bashamayim, it's taken a bad turn. But if you want to really know what Lashon Hara is, you have to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the last step in curing you from Lashon Hara according to the Rambam is the recognition that that affect your relationship to heaven. How do you do that? You bring him into the Beit HaMikdash. You have him give korbanot. You join together with the Kohen in uprooting, so to speak, of course in a metaphorical way, uprooting the Avera of Lashon Hara. Because going into the Beit HaMikdash and being part of what's going on in the Beit HaMikdash is the opposite, according to the Rambam, of what Lashon Hara can lead to. Lashon Hara can lead you to deny God. Not to deny God's existence, but to deny God's goodness or the point to it, or why should we be involved with it, or whatever. That's what Lashon Hara is, according to the Rambam. Otherwise, the treatment of Lashon Hara would not be so extensive as it is, according to the Medrash, the five books of Torah, all the Torahs that are mentioned, according to what the stories in the Chumash, Bereishit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, all have stories of Lashon Hara. And the Rambam says that obviously Lashon Hara is not just Lashon Hara, but it can bring you to deny the authority of God. And therefore, after you're cured from your affliction and you've sort of like accepted this limitation, there's a need to bring you close to God, because that's where you were drifting off of in the beginning. So, have a good Shabbos.